Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport, Will Gavin, John Jackson, and an action-packed show for you today. We were at the NXT UK tapings this past weekend where we spoke to Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson. You'll hear that later on the show. And a genuine indie wrestling legend in Christopher Daniels, the first ever Ring of Honor Grand Slam champion. Plus, we'll talk about our impressions of the tapings, some WWE action, some indie action, and plenty more. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. So I got the name right this time.
Well done.
But I kind of rushed it a little bit at the end to fit it into the music.
The most impressive thing about this week is that producer Sam is actually here.
Hey, Sammy. His mic's probably not even on the desk or something. Oh, good. You're there, but you're really quiet.
Hello.
Sam, we stole your idea for the show, but then changed it entirely, which is good to know, I'm sure. Right. You know, your idea was doing like a throwback match, and you were going to talk about it, and we were going to say where people could watch it on the WWE Network or whatever, and it was like real nice idea that we were going to do. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember you said you'll get me involved every week when that happens.
Yeah, so what we've now done instead is pick our favourite indie match that you can watch for free on YouTube and tweet about that instead.
Right.
So last week it was Matt Riddle against Will Ospreay from OTT Wrestling.
Oh yes,
which was great. It's an amazing match, but we only got like one response on Twitter, which was a little bit disappointing.
Oh, that is disappointing.
Ask me where I watched it.
Where did you watch it?
Night bus.
Did you watch it on the night bus last night?
So last night, what's worse than the night bus? Just missing the night bus and having to wait 20 minutes for another night bus because you know that you're getting on the night bus again. It's literally a circle of crap. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to enjoy the night bus somehow. And it was empty, so there wasn't anyone who's likely to mug me. So I did get my phone out and watch that match, Matt Riddle versus Will Ospreay.
It is still up on our Twitter page, and you can still go there and watch it. And the idea is that each week we're going to post this up, and then we're going to talk about the match with the Twitter interactions and give our impressions. So I'll just read. Chris Bellis got in touch. Really enjoyable watch. Not seen a lot of Matt Riddle's work, but if he consistently performs like this, trust me, he does. I'm a believer. Those rolling suplex variations, especially the fisherman suplex, were fantastic. And what more can be said about Will Ospreay? He keeps getting better. It was the end of a trilogy, which ended in OTT and had a crazy hot crowd because it was at their big end of year event. And they just the crowd were mental, and the atmosphere was fantastic, and the action was fast paced from moment one. It only goes for about 15-16 minutes, but it's just an absolute joyful sprint of a matchup. It's a Scrappermania at National Stadium in Dublin, which is just the name of a bar or a theatre or something. It's not the National Stadium.
When they said that, I looked and went, that's a really small National Stadium. That's like, you know, I've been to Malta's International Football Ground and that's bigger than that.
it's worth going and checking out still. This week, our match is going to involve one of our guests we're talking to. Let's just do a little tease for it. And then people have to go and watch it this week and tell us what they think.
It's going to be good. I've not seen it.
Can I possibly get some like royalties for at least coming up with
no,
the idea?
No, put your mic away.
Properly.
We're not earning any money for this, so no.
You can get involved in the debt that we have.
And you wonder why I'm never involved.
You can pay one third of the costs it took us to get to Cambridge and back this weekend twice because Johnny had to work on Sunday morning.
I forgot to book Sunday morning.
So we couldn't even stay in a hotel and get drunk.
Literally. So should we talk about NXT now?
Yeah.
So we got there, so, you know...
We'll talk about World of Sport as well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, okay, so we drove there, watching World of Sport on the way, which we'll get onto in a minute. But when we got there, we realised that there was a Wetherspoons not too far away. And we jokingly said that we would do a pro wrestling show meetup at a Wetherspoons. Now, obviously, We didn't put it out there because we didn't think anyone would turn up, but it didn't stop us going and having a pitcher of drink each.
No.
Except we had to down it in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the thing is that at that moment, that's the moment when you're thinking, I really wish I booked Sunday morning off work because I really would like to stay in this Wetherspoons and come back after the wrestling and continue my night in Cambridge. But instead, no.
So, impressions of the NXT UK tapings.
Yes.
First of all, fantastic venue.
The venue's great.
Bit more old school.
Yeah.
Our tickets on the second night were directly behind a post, which was holding up the balcony, but it's fine. We got to move our seats. It wasn't a huge problem.
No.
Overall, the quality of the actual product on display was phenomenal. There were matches from both nights, which are right up there with some of the best matches I've seen live in a while. I hope that when they are put onto the network, we asked the guys from WWE and there was no, apparently Shawn Michaels was in the building and Matt Bloom was definitely there helping to run the night, but none of them did. There was none of the kind of pomp and circumstance of that. There was none of the kind of big presentation, etc. It was just very much focusing on the wrestling, the interaction between those characters, the storylines. There wasn't all the pomp and circumstance of the UK tournament. I think that's what I really liked about it.
Yeah.
It felt like our very own version of NXT.
And I'll be interested to see how that differs from the American NXT tapings, and I imagine they do it in exactly the same way, because why wouldn't they? It's probably the same crew. Like, they had a big crew bus, didn't they? There was a lot of crew there. It was funny because we kind of worked out some of it might not have been filmed in order, so we were trying to work out which order bits would go, and obviously there's lots of backstage stuff they would have filmed, which when it's edited and put out, we still don't know when it's coming out. Obviously that will be put in, and you know, you don't see those bits, you just see loads of great matches, and that was alright by me. Very hot in there. What's that all about?
Ridiculously warm.
No aircon.
But the old school venue, so that's probably why, even though it rained over the weekend, then it was cold and I was
still boiling
life.
Hot. The most exciting thing for me is that we did sit next to Wolfgang's dad for a large part of Sunday.
The second night, yeah.
And we kind of guessed it was Wolfgang's dad because he was the only fellow wearing a Wolfgang hoodie. And what you called it, Will, you went, I reckon that's Wolfgang's dad. And then I got talking to him to try and find out, and he went, Wolfie's my boy. And it was very funny. And
and then later on, Wolfie's dad flipped me the bird.
And Wolfie's dad was at one point sending an email during one of his son's matches, and at another point just flicking through his phone deleting memes. So Wolfgang's dad, if you ever meet Brian Young, I can't remember what his name was, he have a chat with him. He's great. We wanted to get him on the show, but he was busy.
Kind of the situation is, we obviously can't spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything. But he flipped me the bird because there was an all-Scottish promo. And I jokingly leaned over and went, Wolfie's dad, you're going to have to translate this for us. And he just did a big hearty belly laugh and then gave me the finger. And I was like, oh, okay.
You did deserve it.
Probably.
Would you say that's your biggest claim to fame this week, getting the finger from Wolfie's dad?
Very possibly. And it was, overall, two brilliant nights. The crowd were really hot. The women starred. There were some brilliant women's matches. I thought, if we're going to talk about who performed without talking, being like, so Pete was great. The Mustache Mountain guys got an unbelievable pop, and when they performed, were really good. Zach Gibson had probably the match of the weekend on night one, I want to say. Noam Dar was there and had a couple of really good matches.
He won me over a little bit. I've been not really that bothered by him before, but actually he was the sort of, I think I have to see these people live sometimes.
Where's Alicia was one of the best chants of the weekend.
It was.
While Noam Dar was wrestling. Just honestly, the quality of that product, if it's edited well and if the backstage stuff is done well and the pro, but you expect that to happen because it's WWE. So I'm really excited to see how it comes out based on how hot the crowd were and how good the wrestling was while we were there. And we then on the Sunday, we spoke with Zach Gibson, Travis Banks, who you'll have seen in Fight Club Pro on the Friday, popped his shoulder out.
Oh.
And even though you're going to hear his edited broadcast version of the story when we play that interview probably next week, I'll just tell you the version of the story he told me, which was he went straight to the hospital. He got given 20 milligrams or whatever it is, the top level amount of what's the...
Morphine.
Morphine, that's it, of morphine that you're allowed to be given. Didn't do anything. Had gas and air. Still didn't do anything. He literally had to be knocked out cold in order for them to pop his shoulder back in.
He shared a picture as well, and he's like, he's flat, like he literally looks like he's been battered and then put under and then woken up, and he's like sitting there going, What?
They worked out a way to kind of get around it with the tapings, obviously. That's probably the only spoilery thing we'll say. But I did go to shake his hand on the Sunday, and he did, being such a polite, lovely man, he did extend his right arm in this really kind of ginger fashion out to me, and I was like, left hand, it's fine.
Doesn't everyone extend the hand to you in a ginger fashion?
Good, good.
Yeah. Will's ginger, by the way, if you're listening, don't know what he looks like.
I can all see it from the picture. So yeah, and we also spoke with Nina Samuels. Nina Samuels was great.
You love Nina
really,
Samuels,
really, really good.
You?
So we'll
she's your Isle of Dawn.
Have Nina Samuels next week, and probably Travis Banks next week. But this week we're going to hear from Zach Gibson, and we're going to hear from Christopher Daniels coming up as well. Should we hear from Zach Gibson now?
Do it now.
Let's do it now. Break up the podcast a little bit. It's about 20 minutes long, and then we'll come back. We'll talk World of Sports, some WWE action, and some other bits and pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Here's Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson. So delighted to welcome onto the show Liverpool's number one and winner of the tournament at Royal Albert Hall, Zach Gibson. Zach, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm very good, very good. 20 minutes last night, I'm goosed, but I'm happy to be here as always.
So how was night one for you?
It was massive. I've gone on record as saying this before, you know, I've been doing this now for over 12 years, and it's always been with the intention of getting to here, basically getting to this company, getting to this platform. So this is everything I've ever wanted to do in my career. Being in Cambridge, being at the Royal Albert Hall, being with NXT UK, it's the best. There's no other way to put it. I don't have to sugarcoat it. It's just the best.
And honestly, obviously, we want to avoid spoilers, but unbelievable crowd last night. You end up equivalent to headlining the whole night, and even after 3 hours, and you going 20 minutes, it still was really hot all the way through.
Yeah. I think that goes, you know, that's a credit to the roster. It's also a credit to the supporters, to the fans that are coming out. I've always loved that about the British fans. And I think that's one of the big things that's going to stand out with the brand in general as a whole. You know, it's fun. Wrestling's fun. It's something that can be enjoyed by so many people. And often people that either don't get it or haven't watched it yet, don't understand just how fun wrestling can be, and all they have to do is let the guard down for 2 minutes, come along, be a part of something like that. From it must have been 3 hours the whole show all in, and from the first bell all the way to the last bell, people were up and down, standing on their feet, waving their shoes around in the air, enjoying themselves. Well, that's what it's all about. We're enjoying ourselves, they're enjoying themselves. This is fun, this is exciting.
I want to ask you about that very thing, because it's, I was chatting to one of the guys from WWE here who only knew you from when you joined WWE and started doing the stuff with NXT UK. But people who know the indie scenes know how much heat you get and know how you get so roundly booed. And they were stunned that the first time you're given a mic in Royal Albert Hall, immediately the reaction is there. So firstly, what's that like going into a whole new promotion, whole new set of fans and getting that heat straight away? And I will ask you about the shoes as well.
So it's what I'm looking for, isn't it? You know, this is a variety. This is a big variety show. That's my part on the show. I want to do it to the best of my ability. But also, it comes real natural to me. You know, I'm a big Liverpool fan. It's a big. It's not the be all and end all of what I do, but it is a big part of what I do. And this is an away game, so it's everything that I'm used to. It's everything that I'm anticipating. And obviously, I like throwing it back at them. They've found new and inventive ways to try and distract me and try and get under my skin, but it's all part of it. It's what makes this so special, and it's something that I've built up over the last 12 years. So to be able to just walk in, I'm never going to be so cocky as to expect it. I'll always go out there, and I was talking earlier, and people were saying, you know, where these shows make or break, Royal Albert Hall make or break. I said, when you're trying to push forward and you're trying to move up the ranks and really cement your spot, you have to treat every one of these shows like it's make or break. So I'm going out there with the intention of, I don't care if this entire room don't know me, I'm going to do something that they're going to remember. If they didn't come to see me, they're definitely going to walk away talking about me. And I'm lucky, I guess. I went out there expecting them not to know me. And then I thought, oh, you're just... All right. Is this how it is? Is this how it's going to be?
And the thing is, so it was our video of the shoes off thing that went viral
after Royal Albert Hall, and it started in the box behind us with Progress now commentator, former wrestler Dahlia Black, and her friends. I just wonder, have you spoken to her since it happened? And
no, this is the thing. Like, I don't know if we've got a problem or no. It's just like I say, it's part of it, isn't it? And they're all trying to one up each other, like who can get under his skin the most, because like they can see that it's winding me up. And obviously that's where, I guess that's where some of the fun of it comes from. And they were just the ones who won that night, I guess. They were the ones who thought of the most inventive way to distract me from what I was trying to do. And it caught on. And to be honest, like I couldn't see what was going on. I was so laser focused on the match with one of the best wrestlers in the world that it took me a minute or so to think, I've not heard this before. I don't know what's going on. And I had to take a look. And even after seeing it, I sort of had to do that double take of, I didn't understand what was going on. Just shoes in the air. It's just not air. So if I achieve nothing else in life, I think I can lay claim that I'm the only person to ever make the Royal Albert Hall take their shoes off
yeah, and wave it there. Actually, do you know what? If you're not even wrestling tonight, not going to mind that much, because it was hot in the Corn Exchange last night and it didn't smell great after you've been out there. I'm not going to lie, but it was obviously still amazing to see that it carried over.
Well, you've seen that internet meme, haven't you, of the guy from Airplane?
Yeah.
Dripping.
Yeah, exactly.
I had 10 minutes of talking. They look like I just got out of the shower. My jacket was a write-off, drenched, soaking wet through. I got backstage, it looked like I'd done 30 minutes and all I'd done was shout and get annoyed.
But do it excellently. I want to ask about the Royal Albert Hall stuff. And you mentioned the match with Pete there. I always find it fascinating when you talk about that laser focus, because we've spoken with Pete previously about his match with Tyler back at NXT TakeOver. And when Trent and Tyler came backstage, they obviously had a phenomenal moment of their own that night with the tag championships. But Trent was talking about that match as if it was, you know, up there in the Pantheon, your match is the best he'd ever seen. Do you realize in the moment with the reaction you're getting from the crowd, with what you're doing in the ring, do you have any realization of how well it's going over and how great people are perceiving the match to be?
There's a yes and a no. So basically when I'm actually in there with a talent like Pete, because he just comes at you and comes at you and comes at you, he doesn't stop. So it's hard to, if you try to take your eye off the ball just for 1 second, Pete's just going to mess with you. He's going to do something that you never thought would happen in a million years, and you're going to find yourself on your back looking up, just twisting your fingers around your head and stuff like that. So you really can't take your eye off them. But occasionally there'll just be moments where there's a break and you get that 1 second to look around and see what's going on. And that was when you think, like, okay, this is going well, and he's getting up again and he's going to punch me in the throat again. There was a good 45 second minute period of that match where he had punched me right in the throat. And so I was just covering up, just trying not to be sick.
Wonderful.
Just trying not to bother. So there was moments of thinking, wow, this is special. Royal Albert Hall, thousands of people taking their shoes off, on their feet, enjoying themselves. And then there was 45 minutes of panic thinking, Royal Albert Hall, thousands of people, please don't let me throw up on my belly.
it's particularly special for you. You spoke about after night one, went three matches in a night, coming through and winning the tournament, that you felt vindicated because you'd missed out on that opportunity the year before. Just tell us a bit about what happened the year before. Was there ever a point where WWE were in contact with you about being involved in that first tournament?
I've been knocking on WWE's doors for years. So this is, I don't shy away from the point, like, WWE is the top dogs, they're the leading brand in sports entertainment. It's where I say every wrestler wants to be. I've seen so many people blagging that they'd rather wrestle somewhere else, but then I talk to them and they just tell me about their history in wrestling and what they watched growing up. And WWE is the top dog. So this is where I've always wanted to be. If other people want to go and do other stuff, that's on them, but this is the only thing I ever wanted to do. So anything I ever did in my career was with the intention of building my own name, so I could inevitably cash in and come here. And the decisions that I made that year were with the intention of building my brand to come here. And it just so happened, I was already in talks and just going back and forth, getting advice on regularly. WWE have always had a hand in the UK, and they've always been here to help the talent and encourage us in what to do next. And it was just a really unfortunate miscommunication from my end, where I was trying to come up and get something to make myself of it, to make myself ready for them. And what actually happened was I tied myself in a very short deal, but it just, the timing could not have been worse for me. So when they came to start up their own project, I was already busy, and they said, you know, don't you worry about it. You keep doing what you need to do and you keep on building yourself. And you know, they don't hold any grudges. They're always supportive of what we need to do. But as you can imagine, for me personally, it was devastating. And then where that show went was even more devastating. And things like being there and trying to be changed. I do what I do, and it's people respond to it really positively. People enjoy what I do. Yet they're trying to change me and make me wear a leather jacket and all this nonsense that I don't want to do. So when that all fell through, and then you fast forward and now we are where we are, just thank God. Thank God it didn't go any other way.
Well, that's it. It's almost that kind of element of that almost a positive from a negative. Yeah. The fact that it did go so poorly, everything just worked so badly. But then fast forward 12 months, yeah. And when it came to putting together this tournament, who, like, when they're in communication with you, at what kind of stage did you get the impression from them that not only did they want you involved, but they were planning on you being one of the guys, if not the guy?
It's hard to say, really. I mean, it's one of those things where you've got to have confidence in yourself to want to be the top guy, to put yourself forwards to be the top guy. It's not necessarily something that they can just say, this guy is going to be the best. You put yourself out there and you make that decision for people. You just be the best, get the best reactions, be the most entertaining, be the most interesting, and then you force the hand. So obviously there's still a lot more that goes into it than that, but there was never necessarily a conversation about it. It was just everyone was brought on board. Everyone's in direct friendly competition with each other. And whoever just stepped up, and I was just lucky enough to be the guy that stepped up, basically.
What do you think you've learned since this process has started, working with guys like William Regal, Triple H, Matt Bloom? You talked about building yourself for 12 years. So what have you learned in the last 3 or 4 months maybe that you didn't have prior to that?
It's mental how it works. In the last 3 or 4 months, I've learned the equivalent of what it just took me 6 years to learn. So in the 6 years where every other year I'd think like, wow, I'm getting it now. I'm really getting it now. This is it. Things are coming together. It's clicking. That's from traveling over to China for 2 months just to pick up one little element to make my game better. And then traveling over to Germany for a month just to pick up one or two little techniques that I believe are going to make me better. Then you get to WWE, you get to this stage, and you've got the best brains ever in this job, all working together and all actively wanting you to do better. So you go to them if you've got a brain on your head. You know, I'll sit there and I'll just listen to them for hours and hours because they're the most interesting people in the world. But on top of that, they're coming to me. If they see something that they think I can improve on, they'll actually come to me and they'll tell me what it is. So you're plugged right into the best brains in wrestling. You can't help but get better. If you can't improve with Shawn Michaels, maybe maybe the best there's ever been, if you cannot improve with him giving you advice, then it's simply not for you. with these guys there, you're set up to succeed, and they want us to succeed, and they're encouraging us to succeed.
Has that level of investment from WWE in the UK changed your approach to how you wrestle on the indie scene as well then?
Not at all now. If anything, now I'm having to work harder because now I'm an ambassador for NXT UK. So I can't allow myself to have fans show up to any show, see my name, associate it with NXT UK, and then see anything less than 100%. I did a week in Denmark that we're talking 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Was this when you wrestled in a car park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on social media. Amazing.
Wrestling's like, the best.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
So I did a week of shows in Denmark with barely any sleep, and it was really, really good, really rewarding. But little to no rest. And then that day I flew back to Manchester. So I landed in Manchester at about, I think it was 5:30, jumped straight on the train to Stockport. I got to the venue during the interval of the show and I was on 2 matches later. So I had to just get my soaking wet gear out of my suitcase. And so there's nothing, by the way, people don't understand how devastating it is to slide your soaking wet knee pads up on your legs. That's one of my least favorite things in life, to slide on your gear, and I had to go out there and do it. And that could have been an opportunity to just play my greatest hits, have a nice night off, 150 people in the room. But though, when you walk out and you're seeing that's 150 people waiting to see NXT UK, let's see what NXT UK is all about. So if anything, I'm actually working harder now that I'm associated with this company, because I have to. I feel like, you know, the future of this brand is on not just my shoulders, but the roster's shoulders. And we're constantly working to make this the best that it is on these shows and on any other show.
I am intrigued as to, obviously this is all you've ever known, but how the kind of older heads would have approached it versus this when there wasn't social media, the internet, and you weren't, you know, didn't have a million and one podcasts and blogs. I'm going to go, actually, I went and saw Zach Gibson in Denmark. I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest. Like, why are they pushing this guy? So I think that's kind of a fascinating potential change that's happened in the industry. I want to ask as well, while we've got a moment, about obviously Royal Albert Hall, first NXT UK tapings, but also in the next few months, you're going to be wrestling at Wembley as part of a tag team with your close friend, a guy that you run a training center with. Like, that opportunity coming at the brand the same time, how has that been? How has the build to that been?
Because the last couple of months and the last year or so have just been mental. I've got a degree in accounting and finance, so God only knows if I would have the two lives that were calling for me, if I would have went down that other route, I just would have been missing out on these things that I didn't even, you know, things that I didn't even aim to do, things like the trips in Denmark and the trips over in China. And now we're getting the opportunity to wrestle Wembley. It's just, it's all come at once. Every single week, there's just something new that's happening that's ridiculously exciting or just weird, just strange. So many times I've stood at the Albert Hall where the Queen has a box to watch her favorite things. And then I'm about to go out there and wrestle, not just wrestle, but wrestle for the WWE. Surrounded by a load of my friends who I've known for years. We're going to do Wembley Stadium. You can't mention the name Wembley to anyone without getting a rise out of them, because that means a lot in this country. The NXT UK deals that we're doing, everything's incredible. We're going over to the States with Progress for a tour over there. So in the space of 2 weeks, we're hitting like 8 cities. So when I'm telling that to my family, they're all blown away by that. I've not had a chance to rest. I don't want to rest just in case I wake up, just in case I realize it's one of those really poorly written TV shows. This is everything I've wanted to do. So every day I get up and I just think, you know, what am I doing today? Oh, I'm resting at the Royal Albert Hall. Have you got a week off next week? No, I'm going to Denmark. What about after that? I'm going to France and Belgium. I'm going to the States. Then I'm doing NXT UK in Cambridge, Birmingham, Plymouth, Liverpool, Wembley Stadium for Progress. Well, Wembley Arena, it's unreal. It's the best time to be me.
And the very last thing is on Liverpool. And you might think I want to ask you about wrestling in Liverpool. We've done that before. What I want to ask you about is £66 million on Alisson. Liverpool have got a new number one. Who are you going to settle who is Liverpool's true number one?
Different fields. Different fields. He's allowed it in his field because God knows we needed him. You know, some people have taken it too far with the carrier stuff. It's probably best just not to touch on that at all. But ultimately, when you're watching preseason, trying to get excited about the next chance, you know, we've built the squad better. We've got a new number 8. We're going for it this season. And then you see schoolyard errors like going through the legs and that. We needed Alisson. So 66, they could have given him anything. If they would have said, we're going to pay £200 million for Alice, I was, yeah, do it. You can have all of my wages from this year. Just please get us someone to just put a little bit of faith in us. I was so happy when we saw that one.
Brilliant stuff, Zach. Thank you so much for your time.
No, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson speaking to us. The whole bit about the match with Pete at Royal Albert Hall, when he talked about, like, Pete's a guy who, when you face him, there isn't a second to take it in. And, like, even when the shoes off thing was happening, he was like, I barely got to pay attention to what was going on because Pete will just keep coming. And he said that when he hit him in the throat, and then he basically spent 45 seconds of the match trying not to throw up on his own chest. Oh, that just gives you an idea.
It's vile, isn't it? I quite like that all the NXT people, literally, you remember we saw, after the NXT tapings on Sunday night, we saw two buses, Gatwick bus, mm-hmm. Heathrow bus, and we thought, oh, maybe that's the crew. But then, like, they've all, literally, or most of the UK people, most of the main UK signed people, have all flown to Florida, and I'm assuming they're filming NXT, or always training with NXT and whatever. And they've been showing all their beach photos, and it's quite funny to see Zach Gibson just chilling out on a beach, sun lounger type thing.
A lot of them have got the Progress US tour starts this week as well. So a lot of them are going out and doing that, and yeah, there's loads of stuff going on at the moment. It is ridiculous. And we're going to have Jim Smallman on the show at the end of this month, talking about his book, talking about their Wembley show and all that stuff as well. There was also Shug's house party this weekend.
Yeah, I saw, I'm not spoiling it for anyone, Grado came back. That's what I saw the highlight of.
Grado and Jeff Jarrett did the Jeff Jarrett dance around the ring in classic fashion. There was,
I've got a quick question. Does Grado always come out to Madonna? Like, I'm not a massive, I don't know much about Grado.
He doesn't come out to Madonna in Impact, but I guess there's a reason for that. But I think that it was his ICW.
Fine, because the commentator. Shut up. The commentator, I don't know which guy it was, did shout, "F*** you, Madonna," as he came out, which was the funniest thing.
Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
I'm very good. I'm just enjoying the crack.
Great. Just checking in with you. I'll just do every now and then. If you ever want to launch in and get involved, when we're talking about WWE and if you want to have your say, just pop your mic up and get involved. Yeah,
it's fine.
Well, I was going to talk about Jeff Jarrett, but
you know, okay, how do you feel? We dropped the ball on Jeff Jarrett. We could have probably got him on the show when he was in the UK for the last 2 weeks and didn't realise he was here.
That's right, we didn't want to. Too cool for him.
He'll be on the show at some point, right?
Yeah, 100%. One day. Coming up, we'll have Christopher Daniels, who is a proper indie legend. But should we talk a bit about... the other thing I want to say, after last week's interview with Lionheart, which I really enjoyed, and AJ Styles, another thing that links to Christopher Daniels, the only spoiler I will give from ICW, and if you want to literally know nothing, then...
Mute
for the next 15 seconds. In the main event on Saturday night, he took a Styles clash from his opponent and kicked out of it, and apparently it got the pop of the weekend because everyone knew the story and was fully aware of it. I'm sure all because that they were because they're pro wrestling show listeners and
yeah,
they'd all,
that's what they
they'd all heard the story.
I think
on
that's
here.
Why Mark put it in.
Yeah,
I think he was saying
our mate Mark Dallas.
Anyway, the people have faded back up now, so we can't talk about that anymore.
So ICW, that'll be on demand this week and well worth a watch from what we understand. We've got to sort out 2nd of September at the Hydro. 2nd of September, 2nd of December at the Hydro. December 2nd,
right.
Hydro, Glasgow. We're going. All right.
Oh, I'm free that day.
Let's get it in the diary.
Right, let's do
Sammy, you're coming to Glasgow?
The Hydro is a lovely venue. I couldn't possibly miss out.
I thought it was going to be really diplomatic. The Hydro is a lovely venue. Are you going to come?
Absolutely.
I've heard Scotland's nice.
Yeah. Shall we talk? Because people won't have seen NXT UK, so it's difficult to talk about
World of Sport, though.
A lot of it. We can talk about World of Sport.
Talking about Grado.
1.2 million people it peaked at. That's exciting. It's, you know, 5 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. The product very much felt like it was aimed towards that Saturday evening audience. I think the general impression, and we got a lot of social media interaction on this, the general impression was the product in the ring was great. The product around it needs some work.
Definitely. Definitely. While we were driving, we were watching it legally, obviously. And it was on in the car, because we've got a car TV. And,
yes, obviously, we've definitely got a car TV.
Searching the mentions on Twitter, and every other mention was referring to the weird cuts in the camera. Like Will Ospreay was on there, and he was doing a move. And I remember he did one, and I don't know which, it was one of his high-flying ones. And legitimately, they cut it as he just before he hit the guy, and we've no idea what happened there. But I think the guy got his legs up, but we've no idea because they cut away from it and just saw Will Ospreay falling off him at the end. And it's just that kind of frustrating thing.
I get that people want to distance themselves from WWE. Yes. I understand that, like, you know, whether it's TNA with their hexagonal ring or whether it's, you know, you look at a lot of the indies, I mean, they whether it's Riptide with their cinematic style, Progress with their very kind of punk rock all done on handheld camera style. People want to keep their product as different as possible, but you still have to look at the way that WWE do a lot of their editing to realise that there is a clear way to do it, to make things look more impactful, to make moves look more effective, and to look more spectacular. And it was just the combination. There were too many edits, first and foremost.
Yeah, all the time.
Start to feel a little bit sick after a little while. And things like that overhead cam was great. That kind of judo Olympic style
cam. And the like GoPro in the corner of the ring cam.
Yeah, and they just didn't use them to really good effect. So I hope that stuff gets sorted.
Yeah, I want to see a wrestler coming towards that camera to smash their shoulder into the ring post. Let's see it all on that camera, not a flicker of it, and then a camera angle from miles away, and then two other camera angles while they're hitting the thing.
I love that they took the title off Grado, which was very much, a Christmas special. Rampage Brown is a great and deserving champion. When they announced the people who were involved in that multi-man match at
you
the start,
were happy.
I was just like, who are these guys? When you've got people like Will Ospreay and Lionheart and Davey Boy Smith, I didn't know those two were facing later in the night.
Sure.
Why are we getting the guy from Love Island and a bunch of other guys we don't know, but they set it up for Rampage Brown to win the title, and he is a legitimate top-level
We're happy
performer.
With that. The biggest controversy, no women.
Well, apparently, Stu Bennett tweeted saying, with only an hour show, it's difficult to showcase all of our fantastic talent. There will be women's wrestling next week.
How many matches were there? Five?
Four?
Four or five? No.
Will Ospreay, the two...
No women.
Oh, there was a tag match.
No time for a woman.
Building up to the tag belts.
A little bit of a women.
Didn't like the tag belts.
I don't care. A little bit of little women. What? Little women.
Apparently next week, we're getting a three-way triple threat.
Yeah.
Kaylee Ray, Viper... and somebody else.
Can't remember who.
Of a top level.
Basically,
it's going to be really good next week.
It's not Casey Owens, is it?
It could be. So it's so one of the women involved.
Yeah.
The commentary was the other
James
thing.
James Ellsworth, probably, no.
The commentary was the other thing.
Yeah. I mean...
I couldn't buy into SoCal Val. I don't... Who is she?
I don't know.
People... She's on the
Chris
Jericho cruise, and she's got loads of followers. I don't know who she is.
No, I think... I don't know... I just don't feel like, you know, we all do the same job, but I don't know if she added anything. She was just used as kind of someone going, yeah, well, that was awesome.
Yeah, if you're going to be a colour commentator, add something to it, give it some personality. Like, absolutely impose your personality. And if you're irritating as anything, which I'm not saying she was, but use that in a Corey Graves way to get yourself over as a heel commentator. The other fella I thought was fine. I forgot his name already. Stu Bennett added something proper gravitas to it when he came and got involved.
I find it weird that...
Alex Shane.
I find it weird that Stu Bennett is like hosting... He's kind of hosting it. He's the general manager and he's a commentator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if Jim Smallman at Progress walked over and started commentating or... You know, Vince McMahon, I know they do that as part of a story, but he doesn't do it all the time.
Well, Vince McMahon used to be one of the commentators on a regular basis.
Yeah,
but
I suppose.
Going down that road is maybe not the way to go with it.
No.
So just a few of the thoughts we got off Twitter. Jamie said, solid effort, showcase some of the talents nicely. Production definitely needs some work, especially cuts and camera angles. as we said. Yeah. The wrestling's great, production not quite there, says Marvelous Mark Monroe. The wrestlers involved have every reason to be proud, though. Gordon says not bad so far. Joshy says, what a solid show so far, making the UK indie scene proud. Oh, and that heel turn from Kirby, that was Matt Kirby during the tag match.
Oh, yeah.
Was stellar.
Yeah.
Osprey and Davey Boy stole the show. Good, but God, those camera angles were awful, Michael said. Pretty damn good. Next week should be even better with this Viper on the card, says Lee. There were some people who really didn't take to it. Sent us just memes of people shaking their head or looking awkward, in Craig Gurney's case, sending us the Wayne's World thing. And this is, I mean, Dax, okay, but could have been so much better. I think that's the real takeaway, isn't it? Alex Imrie is great. Matt Johnson, WWE diet. I'm happy for the UK-based wrestlers, but they basically followed the current WWE model, which isn't great on a smaller scale. I think there is, you know, it's on 5 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's not a
product.
You
have to put it in a certain light, a certain direction, don't you?
No, if you're a massive indie fan or whatever, it's not really the right thing for you, is it? You know, you just got the right product for the right people, and I think we should be happy, and this is the general gist of it, wasn't it? We should be happy that there is wrestling on ITV at 5 o'clock on a Saturday and more people can get into it, and especially lots of kids, you know?
Now, from a WWE perspective this week, I there's no point in kind of really dragging ourselves over old ground, because it's that time of year when the distance between the pay-per-views is a bit longer and we've still got a good 2 and a bit weeks until SummerSlam at this point.
And that fella will have a go at you on Twitter again for being miserable.
And I am miserable about these things sometimes. But the look, Raw was better than it's been some weeks, but still not great. What did you make of all the Lesnar stuff?
I did liken him sitting in the back to the popular pornography, The Casting Couch, which seemed to do all right on Twitter, so it wasn't just me that thought that. I quite liked it.
WWE Creative-ish, who we've probably put over on the show before, but the Twitter account run by a former WWE creative who tweet out kind of irony, Mickey taking things through the show, did tweet something like, Brock Lesnar's here, but he's brought a magazine and doesn't care about the product. He's your girlfriend. Which I thought was very funny.
A bit sexist.
And a lot of memes that are out there that, well, it's assuming that most wrestling fans have girlfriends as well, which is, or boyfriends, yeah. Or, you know.
I like the Jim Smallman one, where the Jim Smallman book has been superimposed over, over the magazine, yeah.
We did see a lot of that, the Young Bucks comic imposed over the magazine and stuff
done
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
I
thought it was all right.
At the end, Lesnar going after Heyman.
I mean, that's a bit weird.
I mean, they got the crowd chanted for Roman.
Oh, what? I know.
The crowd, like, has Vince had a moment of genius? Has all this Lesnar stuff actually finally worked in putting his guy over?
Was that a moment where he turned on Paul Heyman? Was that all they needed to do to get Roman over? Everyone loves Paul Heyman, really. I don't know.
I'm at a point right now. We're outside of the 205 Live match, the Cruiserweight Championship, because I've not watched a lot of 205 Live recently. Hold my hands up. Can't watch every bit of wrestling that's on TV. It's maybe the match I'm least excited about from the current expected card at SummerSlam. And we'll go through, in fact, we should go through that in a minute. 2 weeks out, I'm just going to run you through how exciting it is. Because then on SmackDown on Tuesday, we had a very limited, show in terms of actual in-ring action. Just three matches. You had the Zelina Vega Lana thing, which was kind of fine.
Yeah.
Better on Twitter in advance.
Yeah, good promo by Lana in the car.
But not completely horrible in the ring. The Bar and the Usos, I thought, had a really good match. And Charlotte and Carmella had a proper wrestling match. I'm not so keen on Charlotte.
Why has that happened?
Right, so Charlotte being added makes it a better match at SummerSlam the quality of the wrestling,
because there's two wrestlers,
will be
it?
Higher because there is Becky Lynch and Charlotte and then a clear heel figure. And it's best for setting up for Evolution. I'd be really disappointed if they give Charlotte the title.
I can't think that they will, but my worry is that does Charlotte need a title so that she can then do something with Ronda leading up to WrestleMania in the next 6 months?
I just think all the heat that's been on Becky, even just putting the title on Becky for the next 2.5 months until we get to Evolution,
yeah,
where Charlotte wins it and then goes, oh, she wins it at the Rumble and that takes on to Mania to face Rousey,
sure,
or however they do that. I just think it would make the last 2 or 3 months of really finally building Becky Lynch back up completely pointless if suddenly they've taken a massive swerve. So it does worry me a little bit.
But it's not like WWE to do some really good work and then totally screw it up towards the end.
Did you watch good. Did you watch Samoa Joe and the promo he put on AJ Styles?
Samoa Joe, when he talks, there's a lot of spit going on, isn't there? There's a lot of these close-up ones, and even when he's breathing, he's like breathing out of his nose, and his nose is blowing the spit around his mouth.
All he's doing is spitting gold, my friend, as far as I'm concerned.
It looks good, but, you know, it's a bit weird.
He is the absolute man. Look, what
Will's SmackDown... Will's got a 68% chub right now.
At least. Between Samoa Joe doing that promo, Jeff Hardy building up that likely triple threat, all of the Miz and Daniel Bryan stuff where, you know, they've played each other off each other so phenomenally, and all that stuff with the pics of babies, the cry, it all got, like, it's stuff that should have been in the Kevin Dunn era and should have been dreadful, and instead it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because the two people involved are doing something for themselves and really selling it and really killing it. And look at this SummerSlam card right now, right?
Yeah.
Just these are the expected SmackDown matches. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe for the title. Daniel Bryan against The Miz finally paid off. Randy Orton against Nakamura. Heel Randy Orton against Nakamura against Jeff Hardy. Rusev against Almas has been rumoured as the other match. And then Charlotte against Becky and Carmella.
Another rumour.
Like, that is an amazing pay-per-view on its own, just from the SmackDown side.
Another rumour that Pro Wrestling Insider have been touting today is Elias and Bobby Lashley. What?
Well, so that's it. So on the Raw side of things, we've got Bliss Rousey, which, because we like Ronda at the moment, could be great, but I'm worried there'll be more shenanigans. You've got Ziggler Seth, which they've teased adding a third to it maybe this week, which might work in adding. Well, but apparently they're adding Drew McIntyre's talking about being added in, which would then lead to the potential Dean Ambrose coming back and that working. Strowman against Owens for his Money in the Bank title, just so he doesn't cash in on Lesnar and they can sell that story ongoing, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all a bit uninspiring.
Oh, you've got a message.
On their side of things. Yeah, sorry, I left it on the desk. My bad.
It's fine. We're just chilling.
I think that overall, the SummerSlam lineup is starting to look really good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I just think it's much stronger on the SmackDown side right now. SmackDown right now is the A product.
I was going to say, Raw just seems a bit thin on the ground, I think. That's the big problem. It's just, I don't know whether they just have had a succession of injuries, but it's just, I think there's just not enough depth on that roster. I think that's always proven by the Raw matches on these big cards. And the thing is, as well, with these pay-per-views in between the major ones at the moment, they're very much filler, and you get that impression that they are filler pay-per-views. So when we hit SummerSlam now, although it's going to feel big, you kind of know that the last few months have just basically been building to one of the big shows again. It's not an ideal situation at the moment, I don't think.
But look, even on that point, so we joked about it when the Superstar Shake-Up happened, that Raw were getting so much the stronger lineup, right? But right now, the heels on SmackDown are Samoa Joe, Nakamura, Randy Orton, The Miz. Like, unbelievable lineup. Who are the heels on Raw? Kevin Owens, who has been put back into this chicken poop heel role. And
Brock Lesnar, like, he'll be gone soon.
Brock Lesnar, who is done.
Yeah.
Ziggler's doing a good job. Ziggler and McIntyre, I like.
Ziggler's always good, yeah.
But it feels like they're just all the talent. And for a shorter show, they will never, for money reasons, put Raw down to 2 hours for advertising and sponsorship and everything else. But it could really do with it.
Aren't they putting SmackDown up to 3 hours when it moves?
SmackDown's moving to Fridays. I don't know if it's going up to 3 hours,
it is.
Though.
Pretty sure it is. I know.
I personally feel it would be more beneficial to have maybe all the women on one show rather than across two shows, because at least then, for example, with Raw, if all the women were on Raw, you'd have a much stronger division in one area, whereas at the moment it feels like it's so thin between both shows. And I think at least with SmackDown, because you say they've got some stronger heels and they've got some quite big matches, big main events, big rivalries, but on Raw there's very little to get that much excited about. There's kind of like one strong side of a rivalry and another side which is not necessarily so good. And okay, maybe you don't want to quite split the women in half, but I feel like at least Raw could maybe use that as their strength. Maybe they could just promote that division a little bit more. If they're not going to have particularly great main event rivalries, okay, you could say some of the women are main event worthy candidates as well, but that's something they could potentially focus on.
So right, because when Dean comes back, apparently Seth and Dean are going to be going up against a reunited Gable. Chad Gable and Jason Jordan. So
no one cares. Also, while we're on it, big Cass, you remember him?
What's he doing now?
He's announced his first appearance since leaving WWE.
Is it in the UK?
So it's in Spartanburg, South Carolina, on the bill with Mick Foley and Emma.
Tennille Dashwood,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Tommy Dreamer, James Ellsworth, and Faces of Fear. What has Big Cass renamed himself as for the indie scene?
Big Ass.
No, Cass. Close. No.
Just Cass, yeah.
Big Kaz with two Zs.
Oh, God, that's bad.
I mean, what?
Oh, God. That's really bad.
Also, other WWE news. Meltzer is now reporting that Matt Riddle has signed a 3-year deal. So
yes!
I'm pretty sure we can assume that Matt Riddle's going to join WWE and probably appear at TakeOver in the NXT crowd, right?
Do the old crowd side thing. And what, do you know what the best thing about that is?
Bro.
Because this week's NXT, just to very quickly mention, Baszler, Candice LeRae, good match. Candice LeRae continuing to play the great babyface. Setting up the triple threat with Tommaso Ciampa and Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano. Mm. The crowd booed Johnny Gargano and shouted, "You deserve it," when he got beat up by Aleister Black. The storytelling there has been phenomenal to get the crowd going in that direction. All of that was great. Next week, Keith Lee comes to NXT.
Stop hitting the table.
Keith Lee against Matt Riddle. It's going to happen in WWE and I'm going to get very excited.
Hopefully it will happen at War Games.
Keith Lee.
Because then we'll be there.
Keith Lee. Oh my God, I'm
If it happens
love
at
that.
War Games, we'll sorry, Sam. But me and Will will be there.
Sam can come.
Yeah, you can come if you want.
I don't care. Keith Lee sounds like a teacher.
Keith Lee sounds like a place in Yorkshire.
Very upsetting. That's very good. Yeah, Keith, he's apparently Keith Lee, when he came over for Super Strong Style, like, was signing atlases of Keith Lee and stuff like that, as in Keith Lee, West Yorkshire. Like, people, I love them. The British crowd.
They're not going to change their names, are they? Matt Riddle and Keith Lee?
Like, no, Keith Lee is Keith Lee. That's already confirmed. And he's still using Bask in His Glory.
Right.
I don't know if the theme tune's going to be the same. We'll find out next Wednesday.
What about Matt Riddle? They can't kind of like Matt Riddle.
I'm really concerned with Matt Riddle, because Matt Riddle's just his name. And don't forget, he was in... He's done bits and pieces before.
Yeah, of course.
So I would say that they don't. What I am concerned about with Matt Riddle is they try and make him wear shoes, and they try and...
I should have thought Matt Riddle can negotiate what he wants to do, and he ain't going to sign it unless he can be Matt Riddle.
Unless
they make him like Bro Riddle.
He only wrestles in states where weed is legal.
he only comes out in California.
With a name
that
like
is the
Riddle,
thing, though.
With a name like Riddle, I mean, that is a plum for kind of, you know, gimmick
being,
moves.
Being the Joker.
It? Let's be honest. Well, it is. I mean, Vince will love that.
The thing is, though, Matt Riddle talks about weed quite a lot. I mean, he has in the past, and obviously that's what sort of affected his UFC career. How's that going to work? Because obviously WWE ain't cool on that.
That wellness policy. I'm hoping it's just because of the developing attitudes in America, the fact that they're legalising it before we are, the fact that, you know, it is now becoming generally accepted for medical usage and pain relief usage, that actually WWE might be cool about it.
I mean, it's probably better that than getting jacked up on prescription stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon so. We've got Christopher Daniels to get to.
Absolutely.
And we haven't talked about that yet. Man. And, you know, I've got my real job that I've got to run off and do. So are there any other WWE thoughts
that
we need to get to? I'm not going to run anywhere. We all know that.
I don't have any other WWE thoughts, no, other than, unfortunately, Grandmaster Sexay dying, which was very sad.
Oh, we haven't talked...
One of my favourites.
Bunch of deaths.
I used to watch Sunday Night Heat, or whatever it was. Whenever I watched, everyone was free. It was Heat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We used to watch... And Too Cool were always on that, because obviously he sort of appealed to the kids. And he was one of my favourites. I did prefer Scotty Too Hotty.
Just devastating story as well.
And yeah, that's
particularly
just...
for Jerry Lawler, like...
Yeah.
Just horrible. So, yeah. There would have been a few big deaths in wrestling this week. If we spend the next 20 minutes talking about them, we won't hear from Christopher Daniels.
Well, let's
the usual, tweet out some rest in peace stuff from our at Pro Wrestle Show account and move on.
Great.
But it is worth watching Nikolai Volkov singing the Russian national anthem before one of his matches, so check that out.
100% Nikolai Volkov, another person who passed away this week. Should we talk Ring of Honor?
Go on.
It is coming to the UK for the Reunited Ring of Honor tour. It was brilliant when it was over here back in March, May, whenever that was.
It was on the spring sometime, wasn't it? Yeah, and it was at Crystal Palace in London and Doncaster and I think in Edinburgh, and it's the same three cities again now. Different venues though, in London at least. I never knew Doncaster was the hub for wrestling.
There you go. So the Honor Reunited tour, you've got some amazing matches announced. Things like... In Edinburgh on the open night, Women of Honor tag match, Viper and Tennille Dashwood against Chardonnay and Kaylee Ray. You've got the first round of the tournament with people like Kip Sabian facing Flip Gordon. That's an amazing matchup if you're a fan of the UK Indies. Joe Hendry against Adam Page. They're doing a lot of, like, here are greats from coast to coast and make them go up against each other. I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
Christopher Daniels, who we're about to speak to, facing Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah.
You know, two of the greats of their relative indie scenes. Just it's
he's a big fan of Jimmy Havoc as well, as you'll hear in a minute, and I did broach the pizza cutter thing with him.
Oh God.
And he was not down for that.
No, down for that. So that will start off on that. I want to go through right to the end. They're also going to have matches for the title with Jay Lethal. They're going to have the Young Bucks are here, and they'll be going up for the tag titles, the six-man tag, all of that involved as well. So let's hear from a proper indie legend, one of my all-time favourites, a guy who in TNA was the longest reigning X Division champion, who fought in some of the greatest matches there, and a guy who in Ring of Honor was there from day one in 2002, and this year became the first ever Grand Slam champion. Tag, six-man tag, TV title, and the World Heavyweight title, which he beat Adam Cole for last year. And John caught up with him earlier this week.
On the phone from California, Christopher Daniels, how's it going?
Going great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
No worries at all. First question, what is a professional wrestler doing at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon?
I just got back from Baltimore. I was doing some business stuff for Ring of Honor, and I'm about to hit the gym as soon as I'm done chatting with you, my good man.
Amazing. In terms of being a professional wrestler, we obviously talk to a lot, and the gym routine is something that changes quite a lot between different people. What's your kind of average on a sort of normal day?
Well, usually if I can, I'll try and get it done first thing in the morning, just because that's when I've got the most initiative. If I have to do chores or take care of husband duties or father duties, and it gets pushed back to later in the day, it's harder for me to sort of stick to those guns. But usually if I can get it done in the morning, I get it done maybe an hour, an hour and a half, and then I'm off to spend the rest of the day being great.
Of course, amazing. In terms of people that you've, you know, you'll have worked out with a lot of wrestlers over your time, can you possibly give me a name of maybe the most dedicated gym-going wrestler and maybe, you know, the least committed gym-going wrestler?
I don't know too many least committed. I could tell you probably the most committed is my partner, Frankie. He's in the best shape of his life. He's been a gym rat from the very beginning of our friendship. And it shows, man. I mean, like I said, he's in the best shape of his life right now. And we're up in the morning when we're on the road. We're up early in the morning, much earlier than many normal human beings and many normal wrestlers. Most of the time when guys see us at 10 in the morning on the loop, we've already been to the gym, we've already eaten, and they just sort of shake their head that we're both very crazy people.
But that must
be right.
That must be good, because you spur yourself on, and you know you've got a few years on Frankie. But does he sort of help you maybe those days where you don't fancy it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, man. I know that it's not just me in this game. We're in this together, and I can't let him go off to the gym by himself. I wouldn't feel right. So yeah, we're in it together, and we drive each other, and we push each other to be better than we are.
Which is hard, because obviously, you know, being so good. Now, look, let's get to business. Last year, you won the Ring of Honor World Championship for the first time. And, you know, it was quite a while since you've been working for that company. Do you feel that after all that time, it was made even more special just because of how long it took?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like, you know, the fact that I'd had as many opportunities as I did and didn't win the championship, it certainly made winning it finally after 24 years in the business and 15 years in Ring of Honor off and on. It definitely made it that much more special for me. And again, it sort of lit a fire in me to sort of step it up even greater. You know, I feel like Ring of Honor's got the best talent in the world, and to be the world champion of that company at that period of time, it meant a lot to me. It was a badge of honor that I wore. And I feel like anybody who's the world champion in Ring of Honor right now is at the top of their game. And it's a special group of athletes that comprise the Ring of Honor locker room. So to be the best of that crew is definitely something to be proud of.
What's the feeling that when you lose the title? Because obviously, you know, you know that there's a reason you're losing it. It's all part of the bigger picture. But in a personal sort of place where you've been the champion and you've been that face, you've been the main guy, to have to lose it, like, is that day after you lose it kind of a massive crash back down to earth? Or do you just sort of carry on, you know, do your next thing and move on?
Yeah, I absolutely moved on. You know, I know that each champion has the day that they win and the day that they lose are going to come around that corner. So I was happy to have held it as long as I did. And you know, to know that I won it so late in my career, I don't feel like it's out of the realm of possibility for me to be a two-time champion. So that's sort of what I focused on, was getting back on the bike and sort of making roads to stay at that top level so that when championship opportunities come around, I'm ready and available for it.
Yeah, and of course, second time round, it'll be even better. I think that's how it works.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
So when you lost that title, you lost it to Cody, who is someone we've talked about a lot on this show, obviously because of, you know, how he's conducted himself, maybe since he left WWE. What are your thoughts and observations on sort of how it's going for him?
I think he's very pleased with his progress and the things that have happened for him since he's left WWE. And, you know, you gotta tip your hat to someone like Cody, who took the biggest risks, the biggest risk of that there is, to walk away from what could have been a sure thing for him. You know, I mean, gainful employment in the WWE is something that a lot of guys strive for and work hard for, and he had it, and he didn't feel fulfilled. And you know, when you've got bills to pay and you've got you know, that sort of thing happening, it's hard to walk away from something that you know is going to be there for something that may or may not materialize for you. So, I mean, it took a lot for him to step away from the WWE, and I think that it was his drive and his passion for pro wrestling that sort of fueled his ascent from, you know, being in the middle of the card in the WWE to being the top guy in Ring of Honor and on the independent scene, and now doing great stuff in New Japan as well. So, yeah, I feel like the Cody Rhodes experiment sort of worked in his favor, and it's still showing dividends for him.
It's kind of like, I don't know if I want to use the word pioneering, but that's the only word I can think of, but it's kind of a pioneering thing, because it was that WWE was seen as the pinnacle, you know, even 10 years ago or so. And as someone yourself who sort of, you know, you were involved with WWE, I know, sort of back in the day a little bit, but you've never had that WWE run, and I've seen interviews that you've done before, and you've kind of been cool with that. And I think a lot more talent these days are going to be cool with not being involved with that promotion. Do you think that it's going to actually have a legitimate sort of challenger in terms of size and an audience interest, I guess you'd say, going forward? You know, will there finally be a sort of competitor again with WWE?
I don't know if there'll be a competitor. There'll be alternatives, and that's different. You know, and then going back to your earlier little statement about being fine with not having a WWE run, it all depends on what each wrestler sort of defines as success. I mean, a lot of guys grow up watching WWE, and that's what professional wrestling is for them. So for them to get a chance to be in the WWE, that sort of, they equate that to being success. I grew up watching the NWA, and by the time I became a professional wrestler and got sort of in the discussion to be someone that was making his living doing this, that wasn't really an option. So, I mean, I sort of always defined my success as being able to live comfortably, earning my money doing what I love to do, which was professional wrestling. And I think in this day and age now, with the success of different companies around the world, whether it's Ring of Honor or Impact or Lucha Underground or WWN or MLW, and then you look at the success at the UK scene right now, there's so many more avenues and so many more opportunities out there that guys can make their living and succeed doing professional wrestling that don't involve the WWE. And I think that's what's very appealing to guys like Cody and the Young Bucks, is still getting that success and still being fulfilled in professional wrestling and not having to be at the mercy of the WWE to do it.
I think it's very healthy, though, just for the wrestling in general, that now there are all these options and you can kind of forge your own path. It must be quite refreshing as a wrestler. You mentioned...
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want to have those options in your career. And I think right now, if you're a young wrestler coming up, the world of professional wrestling is so much wider and brighter now for them than it might have been, you know, maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago for a lot of guys.
You mentioned Impact just there as well. Obviously, they've sort of reinvented themselves and come back. How would you say that compares with, like, TNA at its very best?
Honestly, I haven't had a chance to watch the product. I know what I hear. I see a lot of names of guys who I respect and guys that are finding success in Impact. And I tip my hat to them, man. I mean, the TNA era, the time when I was there, I don't think it's ever going to be the same as whatever happens with Impact now, and that's fine. You know, what we did in the day, that was the best that we could do at that point. And now they're sort of forging their own path with a new group of guys and a new game plan, a new battle plan. And hopefully it works out for them, because that's just another avenue for guys to find work and be successful.
Absolutely. This is actually a really good time. So my co-host Will, who can't be here right now, one of his favourite matches of all time was the triple threat with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, which is in 2005, I think, for the title. And then subsequently the rematch 4 years later. He wants me to ask you if you think that obviously AJ and Joe are now being on the bill at SummerSlam, and it's the first time we've sort of seen a decent rivalry between them probably since then. How do you think that's going to go? Do you think they can recreate that kind of 2005 rivalry?
I don't think they need to recreate it. I think they're both different wrestlers now than they were 13 years ago, and in a positive way. I feel like the successes that they've had outside of Impact, you know, AJ in New Japan and now WWE, and Joe going through the NXT system, being the first two-time champion there and now making his way to the main roster. I feel like they're different wrestlers now, but they're better wrestlers now. So I feel like what they do in a WWE ring is going to be different than what we did in 2005, but for the better, I believe.
I'm aware that we're talking about other people, and we will bring this back to you in a second, as well as a question about Curry Man that I've always wanted to ask you. Just while we're on the subject of AJ, a lot of people will be aware and a lot of people won't be aware of your friendship with AJ. We obviously know that he's doing really well, and since he's moved to WWE, he's doing incredibly well. Do you think that we will ever see AJ back doing an indie run before he calls it a day? Because I've seen lots of things that have said that he's always said that he doesn't want to sort of wrestle forever. He probably wants to stop in a few years' time. Do you think that might be something he would consider?
I can't say 100% no. I don't feel like that would be in the cards, but certainly, you know, it depends on the circumstances in the next couple of years. I feel like he's very happy where he's at right now, and certainly he succeeded in a place where people might not have thought he would readily. So I feel like he's happy sort of proving the naysayers wrong and, you know, being one of the best champs that they've had in a very long time. I can't imagine that there would be, you know, maybe the only thing I can think of is maybe if there's like one or two matches that he would want to do before he quits. But I feel like he's done everything that he's wanted to do, and when the time comes for him to sort of stop falling down for a living, I think it's going to be very easy for him to walk away from it in that respect.
Okay, there's a lot more to life. As you say, he has done pretty much everything. So, you know, once he's ticked a few more things off with WWE, I can understand that. Back to you, where we sort of strayed a little bit. Curry Man. So that was 10 years ago now, and I've always wondered, where did the idea for actual Curry Man come from? Because when I was a kid, I had a very similar character that was part of a sort of set of stories I did, literally when I was like 6 years old, it wasn't quite Curry Man. I can't remember what it was called, but basically it was a man made of food. I mean, where do you get an idea from that? Is it your love of comic books?
Well, actually, the character is based on a character in Japanese comic books called the comic book or the anime was called Kinnikuman, and the character was called Curry Cook. So, I mean, that was something that Michinoku Pro came up with and gave to me in 1999 for the Masterman tournament that they did every 4 years. So it just so happened that after that tournament, the character got very popular, and I stayed with Michinoku Pro and then moved on to New Japan over the course of from like 99 to 2004 was the last time that I did like Curry Man for New Japan. Mm. So it really, the only thing that I sort of added to it was just the mannerisms of Curry Man himself, like that, like the dancing, the hat, the sort of the devil may care attitude. That was all me.
Yeah.
But I mean, the idea of the character itself wasn't mine to begin with.
Do you think we'll see Curry Man on this UK tour coming up? Could he sneak out?
Probably not on this UK tour. he's a bit of a drunk, and so it's going to be hard for him to sober up enough in time to find his passport and get a plane ticket. Plus, it's in a couple of weeks, so it's probably too late for him on this one.
Yeah, he's not got his visa, things like that. Just logistical problems. I get it.
Right.
Obviously, we're talking about like comic books. Are you a big fan of these comic book sort of remake films? I know that Ant-Man and the Wasp is out this week. Is that kind of up your street?
Oh, yeah. I dug it, man. I went and saw that. I obviously saw Infinity War earlier in the summer. I feel like Marvel's doing really good work, and I can't wait to see what happens in the next couple of movies. I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel. And then, obviously, the fourth Avengers movie in April or May of next year. There's a lot of questions to be answered. And, it's still fun to be a fan of Marvel, not just the movies, but the books overall. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the pages of the books now. And, it's just something that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, doing those stories justice on the big screen as well. All right, let's talk about this this tour, Ring of Honor Reunited, second tour we've had in the UK this year, and I know that the one that was back in the spring was went down really well. Edinburgh, Doncaster and London. So do you know which matches you're working yet, or is that something that's not been put in front of you so far?
Well, I know I'm involved in the International Cup tournament, and the first night in Edinburgh, I'll be facing Jimmy Havoc in the first round of that tournament.
Yeah.
So what happens for me on the second and third night depends a lot on what happens in that tournament. I think Jimmy Havoc is he's a great competitor. He's very unorthodox. It's going to be a big challenge for me to sort of make him wrestle my style rather than to fall in the traps that I think Jimmy draws a lot of his opponents into with his unique style. So, I mean, that's the game plan for me, is to sort of make him wrestle my match rather than, going to the hardcore end of wrestling, which I think Jimmy is a master at.
He's pretty good at it, isn't he? Yeah.
That's my big challenge, is sort of making him sort of get away from his game plan and go into my game plan. So, I mean, that's going to be the big question, is which one of us sort of forces the other guy to stray off of out of his comfort zone.
To be honest, in terms of tactics, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a video, I can't remember where it was from, but someone going at his arm with a pizza cutter. And it's probably, I think, the most disgusting thing I've seen in wrestling. And I think he was almost a bit surprised at how vile it was. So all you need to do is just bring a pizza cutter down with you and just put it in the corner of the ring. And I think that'll probably emotionally put in my edge and puts you at an advantage, I think. So, I mean, just a tip for you there, really.
It does sound like that would work, but it doesn't sound like it's a game plan that I would roll with. So
something a little unorthodox.
Piece of cutter and then have it taken out of my grasp and put it in his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that might not be the way I go with it.
No, actually, yeah, don't take my advice. Do never take my advice. What is your experience of the UK over the years?
I've always had a great experiences in the UK, all the way back with doing stuff with FWA. Back in the day, doing stuff with 1PW, and then the past couple of years doing the UK tours with Ring of Honor, I feel like there's always been strong wrestling fans. There's always been a strong wrestling fan base out there, and I feel like with the success of the UK scene in the past couple of years, it just makes it that much more exciting to go over with Ring of Honor and get an opportunity to work in front of these guys and to work against some of the best wrestlers that the UK has to offer. So, I mean, it's always fun. I'm looking forward to it in a couple of weeks as well.
The UK wrestling scene is crazy at the moment. Even since we've started doing this show, obviously we have NXT UK, which is just sort of kicking off now. And a couple of weeks ago, the mainstream TV showed World of Sport brought back wrestling on a Saturday night on main TV in the UK, which was not happened for a very long time. And, you know, the viewing figures for that were crazy. And it's a slightly different product. You know, it is aimed at sort of families and kids to get them into wrestling. But still, you know, having those millions of people watching is very encouraging, and obviously hopefully that impacts on you guys as well, and means that every time you come over it gets bigger and better. It's going to be good.
Yeah, hopefully you know, just the whole desire to watch great wrestling starts to grow when you've got great product to sort of sample from, and that's sort of what Ring of Honor is going to bring over as well. We're going to go and you know, bring our brand to guys and try and take advantage of the interest in pro wrestling overall over there.
Yeah, ride that wave. Christopher, I've got one final question. Are you all in?
I'm absolutely all in.
Yes.
We're just waiting to see who we're wrestling. SCU is going to be a part of it. We're happy that we're on the card and looking forward to see what shenanigans the Young Bucks and Cody put in front of us. But it's going to be a great night. It's going to be it's going to be a history-making night. And we're all three of us real proud that we made the cut.
Awesome. Well, you know what? That is another reason for people in the UK to stay up throughout the night drinking far too heavily. And we will look forward to that. Look, Christopher, we'll see you very soon in the UK for those dates. Thursday the 16th in Edinburgh, Saturday the 18th, and then Saturday the 18th in Doncaster. Can't forget Doncaster. And then Sunday, August 19th in London. Christopher, lovely chatting to you.
Thanks very much, man. I appreciate it. Thanks to the fans for supporting Ring of Honor every time we come out.
Oh, Johnny boy, chatting to Christopher Daniels. I loved it. Good work, mate. I definitely want to get him on again and just talk about TNA for an hour. It's a disappointment he didn't watch Impact. Like, I guess that he is busy, but I'd be interested to have heard his thoughts on like Impact now versus TNA then, kind of thing. There are tickets still available for the Honor Reunited Tour. So you can get them online at the Ring of Honor website, Doncaster, Edinburgh and London over the 16th, 18th and 19th. Although it actually goes Edinburgh, Doncaster, London, just to make sure, in that order. But if you are unable to attend the shows, you can watch it online. Fight TV, which is F-I-T-E TV, and Ring of Honor announced that it will be exclusively available on the Fight TV platform through a unique sponsorship of the inaugural Ring of Honor International Cup. The events will be available for $14.99, that is, per show, or you can pay $30, so about 25 quid, for all three events on the Fight TV network. You can get it as a mobile app on iOS and Android mobile devices, on the web at fight.tv, again, FITE.tv, and on the Roku, Apple TV, Android TV boxes, all of those places as well. They'll be available to stream on demand through Ring of Honor's Honor Club service 7 days after their initial airing.
Do you think he was that into the Curry Man thing?
No, I don't think
he cared.
I got the impression he wasn't a fan.
No, I like to put more abstract things about people's careers, and hopefully they're into it. But I didn't sense that he cared.
No, you did a really good job, apart from mentioning Curry Man, which you glossed over quite quickly. Well, I didn't. So screw you. So just to finish off with, our free match of the week is the match that John mentioned on there. Find it on our Twitter page. We will pin it from like tomorrow onwards. We'll pin this show first and foremost. It's the TNA X Division Championship match, the Triple Threat, back in 2005, between a very short-haired and young-looking AJ Styles, a very slim-looking Samoa Joe, and a very young and fit. It looked very similar, actually. Christopher Daniels, who at the time was the X Division champion. It's about half an hour long, and honestly, you'll want to watch it twice. It's a proper five-star match. They redid it in 2009, and it was almost as good second time round, but it kind of, at the time, redefined what you could do with Triple Threat Wrestling, and it's well, well worth watching. So we'll post it there. Please, if you watch it, give us your thoughts below, or give us your overall thoughts on the match, or the careers, or whatever.
Or give us a chub rating.
Or give us a chub rating, and we'll discuss it on next week's show.
Yeah, absolutely. All that remains to be said is
Mark's 10 for your 10% discount.
I was going to say that, but yeah, Mark's 10. Yeah, Urban Species, if you like wrestling t-shirts, have a look at them. I've been wearing my Chris Jericho one a lot this week. Is that a wrestling one? No,
it's a Jurassic Park t-shirt.
Great. You can't
I'm a
get
big
a discount.
Child.
There's no discount on Disney. So, is that Disney?
No.
I haven't got a clue. I don't care. So, Mark's 10. Yeah, gets you that. There was something else I was going to mention, and it's totally gone out of my mind.
Okay, is it because I said Mark's 10?
Yeah.
Was it give us a 5-star rating on iTunes?
All that old shit.
Did you code what he swore earlier as well? He thinks that because we've got a producer today, he's allowed to behave like
an
absolute...
Am I not allowed to say that?
You're a disgrace.
All right, okay. If you've ever listened to a podcast, you know all that stuff they say about do it, or you do this because we've got a podcast and do that. Just that. Do that for us. Stop doing it for Adam Buxton. Stop doing it for my dad wrote a porno. Do that for us.
Thanks. Sammy, it's nice having you in today. You said very little, but that'll change. We'll get you more and more involved. We love
it's
you dearly.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love Sam. This is the at Pro Wrestler on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us there as well. Next week, Travis Banks and Nina Samuels. You've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Show.
Stop banging the table.
Right, should we get Keith Costigan up 10 minutes late?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.